We'll get started here in just a moment. If you want to get in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to may finish up chapter 1 this morning. I think we'll be very close. We'll start in verse number 28 here in just a moment and have a word of prayer, get started. Pray for the next hour. We'll have a little time between services and Sunday school the next hour, but I'll be preaching this morning and the aspect of the thought when God says no. Ever had the right of way, a yes, and get all excited about what you wanted to do, and the authority came by and said, you're not doing that. And how do we respond when that happens? So that's the message in a nutshell. As you know, we'll read in our Bibles a little bit later this morning. Of course, when David had a desire to do something and to build a tabernacle, the prophet tells him to go ahead. God is with you. Only before he could get started for the Lord to tell the prophet, tell David I said no. And without a doubt, it's how we respond when God says yes, and in particular when God says no, on how we respond and what could determine the future for us or the next several days or weeks. And sometimes our response to God's no can affect a whole generation. And sometimes I think we just don't realize that. So this morning is going to be more of a, I don't think I'll get too wound up during the preaching hour next, more of a teaching time, but I think and hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you. And then we'll go on here this morning in the book of Philippians. So be praying for that if you would, between the services and during the time of choir practice, that God would use that this morning to be a blessing and a help to those that may have been told no or may be struggling with some thoughts that they had that was okay to do only to find out that it wasn't. All right, last week we got started in this through section 3, Christ-like in conflict, and we covered the failure of Satan, and then today we'll pick up on the freedom of salvation. So let's look at verse number 28, and we'll have a word of prayer and see how far we get this morning. "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and in that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me." Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless our time together this morning. May you be uplifted and glorified, Father. May we glean from the scriptures. May we be challenged. And Father, thank you for the little bit of rain that we did have this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring this rain that we need here as months and dry spell goes on. Thank you for the cold front that's coming in that's going to cool things off just a little bit for a little while. Father, we thank you for that. Now, Father, again, just bless our hour, bless the Sunday school hour, be each and every teacher this morning that is teaching. And Father, help us to prepare our mind not only for the word, but Lord, during the interim, during the fellowship between services for the main service. Father, again, move in the midst of us and have your will and way. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Again, Christ-like in conflict, as we stepped into last week, and we looked at the failure of Satan, and now this morning, the freedom of salvation. And we see there in the latter part of verse 28, we see, "But unto you of salvation and that of God." See, whenever you come under the pressure of Satan, meditate on the presence of your Savior. So often we get discouraged because of Satan's temptation, but no matter what the devil throws at us, he cannot take away our salvation. Isn't that a blessing to know that we are eternally secure? If we have repented and we have trusted Christ, we are eternally secure. Michelle and I had the privilege of ministering in Eastern Europe and in Europe and a lot of years in both countries, but so often semantics and language sometimes would be a misunderstanding. But there were those there that I thought for a while until I learned the language better that they thought you can lose your salvation. But after learning the language a little bit better, come to find out they thought that you could walk away from your salvation. And my thought is, well, that sounds to me like rebellion and backsliding. But yet they saw it as a loss of salvation. I'm so glad that we are secure, and I'm so glad for the signs that I know that I'm saved. When I get sideways with the Lord, he gets my attention. And that's a good sign. We'll look at a couple places of scripture. John chapter 10, verse number 27, John 10, 27, and we'll go over to John 6 and John 8. John chapter 10 and verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is great, is gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I always go to this passage of Scripture teaching eternal security when somebody trusts Christ as a personal Savior. Right away, go to John 10 and go through this with them to make sure they understand. Turn back a little bit to John 6, 35 and 37. See, when pressure comes and trials increase, and they will, we may feel like God has forsaken us, but the word of God, his word is very clear. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Salvation frees us from the grip of Satan and sin that destroys us. Praise the Lord, no matter how the conflict, we can be Christ-like during our conflict. We know that Satan is going to fail, and that the freedom of salvation that we have. Now go over to John chapter 8 in verse 32. Verse 32, John 8, 32. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Dear friends, we are free in Christ. We need to stop living as a slave to sin and start living as a servant to Christ. So often when I run into Christians who are struggling with sin, struggling with it, whether it be addiction, whether it be another type of sin or another type of addiction, the commonality is there's no accountability. They're not in church. They're not being discipled. They're not in the Word of God. They think they can just make up their mind, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to go out and live my life. And yet they continue to struggle because there's no nourishment from the Word, there's no encouragement, there's no accountability. Too many Christians live as though they have never been freed from the bondage of sin. Now let's jump over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 6. And we'll read a section there. Dear friends, God has declared victory in your life. He's declared it in my life. He's declared it in our life. It's time to switch over to the winning side. Romans 6 and verse number 6. Now, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if he be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For if that he died into sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to him whom yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Again, God has declared victory in our life. We don't have to struggle with those errors. We don't have to stand by and watch other believers struggle. We can encourage them and even offer to give them some accountability, offer to encourage them. I don't know how many times while I was in Bible college and when I was in the military talking to folks and inviting them to church that I always followed up on Saturday night just to make sure they were going to get in bed at a reasonable hour, called them on Sunday morning to make sure they were getting up and around because I wanted wanted them to be in church. I felt like they wanted to be in church, but they were struggling so much in a life of sin and sometimes addiction, or just struggling because they just weren't where they needed to be or had accountability in place like they should. Yes, there is. We must be Christ-like in the conflicts that we face and helping those around us in the same area. The failure of Satan, the freedom of salvation, and then notice the fraternity of suffering. Folks, we cannot live and serve the Lord and not expect to have some type of frustration, some type of suffering. Verse 29 and 30 of our text. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Let me ask, are you going through some trials? Have you gone through trials? Could we be facing trials next week, next month? Well, yeah, you're in good company. Our Lord went through the trials. Job went through the trials. The Apostle Paul went through trials. We can go through a list of wonderful men and women through the life that we now know, as well as biblically, that have gone through trials. So we should not be surprised by that. We have joined the fraternity of suffering with Christ. And the writer of this letter, the Apostle Paul, has great experience with that. And dear friends, I don't know about you. I would rather learn from someone else's mistakes than my own. I know that I can go through the suffering and I may have to face it on my own, but I know, as God sets the pattern, I know Satan's alive and well. And just like he's helped and delivered others, he will deliver me. After all, he said he's no respecter of persons, and I have to ask myself that I bring it upon myself. Is this something that I have stepped into? And then now, Lord, help me through this. Not around it, not over it, not away from it. But Lord, help me through it that I might grow thereby. Yes, we are in good company when we go through trials and tribulations. This lesson has been about an increasing godliness. And it is through suffering that we grow the most. It's through suffering that we grow the most. Now, I've been reminded, now that my kids are raised and we have grandchildren, and Michelle and I were talking just the other day, we were just shocked. If our oldest grandson, who's going off to college, if he ends up getting married and having a child within the next 3 to 4 years, we'll be great-grandchildren, great-grandparents. If he follows a pattern of his mother, and as well as he follows a pattern of his mom and dad. But I've learned something with the kids being out of the house, and then now having grandchildren in and out several days a week, is that when they suffer and they have a conflict and they skin their knee or they get into a little scuffle, boy, they come out running for mom or grams. And if they know neither one of them there, then it might be Papaw, depends on who it is. But they know where to go to when they are hurt, when they are afflicted. And dear friends, it is exactly like that when we go through it. We should be running to him and wanting to draw closer to him. Again, it's kind of like lifting weights. Those of you that have lifted some weights in the past, those lifting of weights, that working out, that running and working our lungs, it's the aspect of breaking them down, stretching them tearing, having a rest day or two, and then hitting back again is how we grow that muscle. And dear friends, that faith, if we treat faith like a muscle as well, they realize that our faith grows as we go through conflict. Our faith can grow when we go through trials and difficulties if we allow it, if we allow the Lord work in our life. And this process, it can be painful. And just like so many people stop working out, stop lifting, stop running because of the discomfort, but it's the only way toward a stronger body. It's the same way as a believer. The trials that God allows in our lives, and they are all God-filtered. Sometimes they're not necessarily all God's appointed, but they are God-filtered and are for the same reason. We should strive and realize, again, sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Sometimes we inadvertently step into it. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves because we get away from the Lord. But when those trials come, and sometimes it may be just to draw us closer to him. I don't know about you, but if you think about this just for a moment, I remember one time when my wife and I went through a great trial, and I can't remember if I shared this, but we all signed up, ready to go to Bible college, left Germany, jumped out of the icebox into the frying pan of Florida, got registered for school, didn't have a house, paid our first month's rent, got a contract for a home, went out and bought as much bologna and cheese and bread and mayonnaise that we could afford to buy, got in school, paid that first and last month rent and security deposit, didn't even have a job left. I had one more paycheck coming from the military, wasn't sure when it would come in, and it did come on time, by the way. It did get there in the nick of time. But that first semester, Michelle's brother was in an automobile accident and was in a coma. And we had left Tennessee to get there to go to college. Her parents were on the way, and we were there in school. And during that time, Michelle got a phone call. I was reached out to class to go home to be with my wife, that Johnny, her brother, had passed away. We never thought through that trial, through that difficult, Lord, we're just getting into Bible college, and Michelle and I talk about him taking Johnny home. He was a freshman in Bible college himself, had made the soccer team as a freshman, as a tremendous soccer player, and was on the men's quartet, the men's ensemble, whatever group that he was in. And the Lord saw fit to bring him home. Now, it wasn't long after that that we settled. We got adjusted in school. We went through. Michelle went to the funeral, came back. 9 Bible college students got saved at his funeral. 9. The next year, another family came in. And while they were there in Bible college, getting checked in, going back to their home, they got into a car accident. They were T-boned. The whole family was in the hospital. Our pastor pulled us aside that evening and said, Brother Cook, Miss Michelle, you guys went through it last year in your first semester, and I know it was hard, but God has a purpose and a plan. Another family that's in our church and in our school were just in an accident. I'd like you to minister to them. I'd like you to go visit with them, spend some time with them, and help them through this process. And that's exactly what we did. We ministered to them, helped them with the children back and forth to hospitals, helped the husband get home once he was released. I think mom and the kids were, and two of the kids were released first. Daddy and the youngest daughter was still in the hospital. And we ministered to them. And through that, we became close friends. And through that, the Lord helped us understand when trials come our way, it's very well possible the Lord could be laying the groundwork to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, that we might use the example to be a blessing to someone else, to help them through the hardships of what they went through. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, then we'll go over to 1 Peter 4 right after that. 1 Peter 1. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then again in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, Peter encourages the believer with these words, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, it is through these trials of life that we can learn to depend upon God and to tap into his power for our lives. We never really understand how desperately we need God until he is all that we have. Sometimes we feel like, but dear friends, really, if we think about it the other way around, he's all that we need. And we get to that end of the rope. We feel like we're on the last run. There are no more knots. And we remember, oh, there's God. But folks, he should be the first one that we run to, the first one we grasp onto, the first one that we cry to, the first one that we say, Lord, I need you during this time. He is always there. Okay, let's go turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is through these times that God increases our strength with his grace and with his power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll begin reading in the second part of verse number 7. You know, sometimes it's even hard as we go through these difficulties that we've looked at with this Christ-like in conflict, the failure of Satan, the freedom of salvation, the fraternity of suffering. There are so many things that take place. Sometimes we think about tragedy. Sometimes we think about disruptions in our life, heartaches. But sometimes there are other things that also happen in our life that bring suffering. Sometimes it brings it to the church family. Sometimes there's difficulty. Sometimes churches split and get upset over things, sometimes because people just won't sit down and talk. Good time for me to throw this in. I'm of the nature to believe that if there is a problem within the church and it's brought to my attention, I will sit down with that family, that person, send them a letter requesting that we sit down and talk this through so that it doesn't spill over into the church. And I hate to say this, I've had to send a letter like that since I've been here. Now, it's in their park. It's a decision they have to make. And it can be suffering and conflict for the church if it's not handled properly. But when it's handled biblically and in love, and sometimes exercising, and sometimes extending the patience that we need to, though we may not like the circumstance, we may not like the situation, we may feel that they have wronged or they have been wrong or they've handled it wrongly. The bottom line is it doesn't matter how we feel, it's what God's word says. That's what it comes down to, and following the biblical pattern. And as I've said this before, and I'll teach on it down the road, I may have to teach on it sooner, but the proper way, according to Matthew, is to go to that person, have an offer to sit down. They don't want to hear you. Then you follow it up with someone else for the church, leadership of the church. If they still don't want to hear it, you bring it before the church. That last step is something I've only had to do twice in my ministry, and it's not something that's comfortable at all. Most of the time, it handles in the first step with the letter, with the sit down. Either it's rejected or it's received. When it's received, it helps so much more with not having conflict and suffering brought on to yourself or brought into your church family. But when it's rejected, sometimes it can cause some problems and the difficulties. And believe me, we are not immune, like no church in this valley, no church on earth, no church since the book of Acts to today are immune to conflict and situations within the church. If we were, 1 and 2 Corinthians wouldn't be in the Bible. It's going to happen because we're human, but it's how we handle it and how we respond. And we're challenged here in this process of conflict that it is going to come, but make sure we handle it in a biblical way, that we hand it over to the Lord. And if it's of self, make sure that we receive it of self and we don't have other wounds because we keep pointing the finger or blaming others as opposed to looking at what maybe I have done, what I have said, or what the scriptures say, and how I'm responding to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7b. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, as the Apostle Paul's writing, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Now stop there for a minute. When's the last time you gloried in your infirmities? I can't remember when I have. I can't remember when I was jumping up and down excited. Lord, thank you for the reminder. Lord, thank you for whipping me. Now, when I got my heart right, I was ready to thank the Lord for getting my attention when I drew back to him. But that always wasn't my first response. When we get bad news, it's not, thank you, Lord. When I crushed my thumb with a hammer, it's not, thank you, Lord. It hurts. But sometimes, for some reason, the Lord uses things to get our attention. The Apostle Paul says he was thankful here. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why are we strong in our weakness? Especially when we realize a weakness and we turn to the Lord. That's when we're the strongest. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we try to handle it on our own or go about it or respond in reaction as opposed to a time of saying, Lord, how do I respond? Paul actually looked forward to the times of suffering his life because he knew that it was through these times that he would grow. He knew that he would grow. Let me ask, are you concerned when your spiritual life is not growing and progressing toward godliness? Does it bother you when you don't feel like you're growing, no matter what your age is, and progressing toward godliness? I got on the scales the other day, and I didn't like what I saw. I gained 5 pounds. And I've got nobody to blame but myself. I've had an ice cream cone every night for the last 2 weeks. It was good. That's part of the problem, and I haven't been walking as much as I should. Now, it's easy. I can blame, so, well, it's Michelle's fault. She's hurt her back, and she can't walk, so I'm not walking either. That doesn't prevent me from walking. I'm just putting it off on her, and we do the same thing. It wouldn't be a wonder if we could step on the scales and measure our spiritual life. Best way to do that is just to stay in the Word. Be in church. Read your Bible. And maybe even do a word study or study about the area in your life that you struggle with most. No, God has given us, no, I don't like technology. My pastor has a lot of fun. He talks about the pastor of scripture where it warns about a man being caught in a net. He always refers to that as the internet. He has a lot of fun with that. He's preached a message on that some years ago. But again, back to what I was saying before, technology makes it so easy. We don't have to. When I was in Bible college, I had to read through my Bible through the Old Testament. Praise the Lord, it's only the Old Testament. Everywhere we referred to music, we had to highlight it in a circle of color and write the passages of Scripture down. Through all the Old Testament, through a song leading class that I had to take as a preacher. That's the only reason why I get it right some of the time in leading music, because I had to take a class. I can't sing. I can't read notes. I can just find the page numbers when you give them to me. But I had to mark all of that through the Bible. You know, we can do the same thing with our life when we know that we're struggling. Is look up that word on the internet. I can refer to you a Strong's Concordance. If you can get an electronic version or get your the hard copy of the big thick book, you look up the word that you're looking for, and there's all the passages of Scripture there in the Bible with that word, with that adjective. Do a word study. Lord, help me in that area that I might overcome the struggle that I'm having, whatever it may be. See, a weak and anemic Christian is not going to be able to stand in the evil day. The weak and anemic Christian is going to fall every time that they're tempted. You can't fight the battles on your own, nor can you produce godliness in your own power. It's only through Him, spending time with Him, other believers for the encouragement. That's why it's so important to have fellowship, not just at church, but fellowshipping with other believers of like faith, other families in your church, having a meal together, having a game night together, doing things together. Now, maybe we need to schedule this coming up. I know it's been hot, but we'll work something out. But we used to do something when I was pastoring all these young couples in the military in Germany. Michelle and I, most of the time, were the oldest couple. Most of the couples were in their 20s and 30s that we ministered to. And tell you what, sometimes it was exhausting keeping up with them. But during the school year, not during the summer, but during the school year, every month, we would have a game night. I mean, these families would come out in droves. The kids would bring their little candy land and other toys. We'd order pizza and drinks, and people would bring chips and something salty, something sweet, and the church would order the pizzas and drinks, and we'd have a game night. Most of the time, I always had it on Friday because I don't like being out late on Saturday, and I usually left. I wasn't the last one to leave. Some of those young soldiers said, okay, buddy, when you're through, you guys lock up. You're responsible. Make sure the fellowship hall is clean. If you're going to stay and play these board games, war, some other ones they were playing, you take care of it. But the point I'm trying to make is they came out, and the kids loved the time of fellowship with one another. I sat down often and played Candyland with the kids and other games and Yahtzees and Uno and all the other little games that they like to play, and some that they, I think, made up rules as they went along. But Pastor was a brunt of the joke with the kids sometimes because they always seemed to beat me somehow. But we had a lot of fun, and they came out for the fellowship with one another. And most couples, especially the new believers, really enjoyed it because they said, preacher, outside of church on Sunday and when I'm not working on Wednesday, this is the best time of fellowship that I have outside of my family as a new believer, because I'm around other believers, I'm encouraged, I'm challenged, and I always seem to learn something because I can ask questions and talk about the things of the Lord with them. It's always encouraging to me. And friends, that's why it's important to have fellowship, to be around other believers, that we might be that blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and we'll be done. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Dear friends, are you more like Christ than you were last week? You can be. We can be. Today, start today to increase in godliness. Though we can't step on the scale and measure our spiritual life, we can look in the mirror of God's word and say, Lord, show me where I'm failing. Show me where I need to be equipped. And dear friends, I don't know about you. You might be a little surprised in digging in the Word to find out God gives you exactly what you need that day for something that comes up that day or later that week to equip you and to prepare you to be exactly what you need to be. Christ-like in conflict, the failure of Satan, the freedom of salvation, the fraternity of suffering. We may suffer individually. We may at times suffer corporately through things that take place and happen, but we can get through it together as we move in the same direction toward God. Remember that triangle? Each of us moving toward God. The closer we, more we go to God, the closer that we come together as a church family, collectively, as well as individually. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And once again, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness to us. Pray that you bless our time, Lord, of fellowship between services and our choir as they prepare and rehearse for the next hour. Father, may you be uplifted and glorified. Father, is anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved on their way to heaven? May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's been struggling and feel like God has said no to them too many times, that today they would be blessed, they'd be encouraged, they'd be challenged, they would be comforted through the message. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. It's 9:32. And choir, you have practice here in just